We're doing Ein Yaakov, and we had learned last week about when a person goes to the public bathhouse or a person is going to go into the river to cleanse oneself. So in those days, that was where people went to bathe, and they obviously went without clothing. So the Talmud had discussed that under certain circumstances, it's a sign of modesty to cover one's private parts, and under other circumstances, it can be an indication that one is embarrassed to be circumcised, and that's improper. So that's what we discussed last week. Then we went on to a discussion of Rabbi Zeira, who was avoiding his Rebbe Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda ordinarily in Talmud is Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, he is the disciple of Shmuel. Excellent. Rabbi Yehuda in Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda in Talmud is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, the disciple of Shmuel. You're right. In Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. So he was avoiding his Rebbe because his Rebbe held that if one ascends from Babylon to Israel, he is in transgression of the commandment, Bavela Yuval V'sham Yuyu. They will go to Babylon and stay there till I call him back. That was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and his disciple Rabbi Zera didn't agree. So his disciple Rabbi Zera was ascending to Israel from Babylon. Amar, Rabbi Zera said, Ezid Veshma Milta, let me go hear one last thing from my Rebbe before I go to Israel. Veiti, Veisak, and then I'll go up to Israel. Azal Ashkechei Dekai Bebani. He came and found his Rebbe going into the bathhouse. Vekamar Lele Shamei, and he said to his servant by the bathhouse, Haviu li neter, haviu li masrek. He said to him, bring me neter. Neter was a type of sand. It was a type of cleanser they used to clean their hair. Bring me masrek. Bring me a comb. They used to use the combs very often to clean out lice. Pitchu pumaychu v'apiku hevna. He told his students or his servant who was there, open your mouth so that you absorb, you take in the steam, and that will cause you to sweat, and that's healthy for you. Ve'ishtu mimaya debeibane, and drink from the hot waters, so that that's also considered healthy. So that those were his pieces of advice. Now, ordinarily, when the Talmud gives us medicinal advice, we don't take it. We ordinarily assume that the Talmud's medicinal advice is inapplicable in our times. We don't know exactly what the Talmud was talking about. So, sometimes the Talmud gives us warnings and then we listen. The Talmud says, if you left an egg peeled overnight, don't eat it. If you left garlic out overnight, don't eat it. The Talmud tells us that after circumcision, you have to ensure that there's adequate blood flow to the area. You draw out a little bit of blood before you bandage the kid. We listen to that, even though modern medicine has no idea why that's important. There are different things that the Talmud warns us about, and there we listen to the Talmud. I would add one, even though it doesn't appear in halacha. The Talmud says if someone's sick, they should not take a haircut. That's not a good time to take a haircut. A very good friend of mine was once sick, and he started getting better, and then he went to take a haircut. And I asked him, I said, the Talmud says that's not a good idea. He said, let's see. And he got very sick after that, So I don't know, I'm not saying you have to worry about this. It's not recommended, and the Talmud gives us warning. So very often we try to take that warning. But when the Talmud tells us this is very healthy, we don't necessarily do it. Because the Talmud in the end of the first or second chapter of Moed Katan says, if you want to be real healthy, then eat these little fish just as they're about to go bad. So Tosfos says, bad idea. You could get real sick if you eat fish as they're about to go bad. So Tosfos says, you have to know which fish they were talking about that grew up in which river and together with which diet. Their whole lives were different than ours. So we're not always sure how to apply their medicinal advice. This one is easy if you want to do it. I don't know if there's any harm, but we don't generally apply the Talmud's advice, medical advice. So his advice to them was this: breathe in the steam of the bathhouse so that you will sweat and that's healthy for you. Drink from the hot waters of the bath so that that's also healthy for you. In another place, the Talmud, we'll see in a minute, the Talmud will discuss it. Amar, so Rabbi Zera loved it. He said, what great advice. In Malebati al Shmo Devar Zed Dayai. He says, if I came only to hear that, great, it was worth it. So the Talmud says, okay, what did he learn from that conversation? The first thing he learned, when the rabbi asked, pass me, bring me that neter, that shampoo that they used. Bring me the comb. So he said it in Hebrew. So he learned from that, that you're allowed to say mundane things in the holy language of Hebrew in a bathhouse. He heard him say, open your mouths in Aramaic. Vapiku hevla, and then your own steam will come out, meaning you'll sweat. Nami kidi Shmuel damar Shmuel hevla mapik hevla. Shmuel taught. Shmuel was a famous doctor. Shmuel was Rebbe's doctor. Shmuel was a master doctor. The Talmud tells us that there was a book written at the time of creation that was given to Adam, and that book says who's going to lead each generation. So in that book, it says that Shmuel yarchina. Shmuel, the moon gazer, Shmuel, who was also a super astronomer, would be Rebbe's doctor, and he would never get smicha from him. As much as Rebbe tried to give him smicha, it never worked out.
He refused it or just didn't?
No, every time something else would happen that would disrupt it and wouldn't let them finish. So it said in this book that Adam had, that Adam Arishon had, Shmuel Yarchino would be Rebbe's doctor, but he'll never get smicha from him. It says Rebbe once had a terrible eye infection. So Shmuel gave him a balm. He said, put this on your eye, it'll get better. Rebbe said, it hurts, I can't put that on my eye. So Shmuel said, fine, put it on your pillow. When you go to sleep at night, it'll get absorbed into your eye, it'll cure you. Rebbe said, it hurts, I can't put it on my pillow. So Shmuel said, fine, put it under your pillow. This is so powerful, it'll ultimately seep through the pillow and cure your eye. And that's what happened. So Shmuel, it says, Shmuel could taste the waters of the sea and tell you these waters will cure this and those waters will cure that. He was a master doctor and a master astronomer. So Shmuel taught the following, hevla mapik hevla, taking in steam will emit steam, will cause a person to sweat, and that's healthy for them. And modern, today alternative medicine also says that. They tell you to put all these herbs in hot water and cover your head over the bowl. You guys know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And then take in that steam, breathe in the steam. You could breathe in, you put in eucalyptus oil, make a bowl of boiling hot water, you put in a few drops of eucalyptus oil, cover your head with a towel, put your head over it, take in that steam. Okay, so that's Shmuel's advice. The Gemara says, what advantage is there to drinking the bathhouse water? Titania, we have the following braisa. If a person eats and doesn't drink, the Talmud says the food is like blood for him. That's what begins stomach troubles. If people eat and don't drink. Our generation is people who do not drink enough. And if they drink, it's stuff that's bad for them, like coffee. People don't drink. You got to drink water. Yes?
Didn't the Rambam say that you're not supposed to drink in your meal?
Right. Yeah. So maybe it didn't say you have to eat and drink during the meal, maybe right after the meal. But you have to drink. Bottom line, you have to drink. You ate, you have to drink. Achal velo alach dal damot. If a person ate and went straight to sleep, he didn't even walk 4 footsteps. Achilato markevet. So then the food doesn't get digested properly. It starts rotting inside him. Vezeu tchilat reachra, and that's what begins causing a person to have bad breath. Hanitzrach limkavav, if someone needs to use the facilities, he needs to go to the bathroom. Vachal, and instead of going to the bathroom, he goes to eat. He says, you know, there'll be no food left for me. I'll go after the meal. Dome letanush esiku al gabei ferro. That's like an oven that you try to light it when the hearth is full. You have a lot of ash there, and you're trying to light it on top of that ash. Vezeu tchilat reach zuama. And that's the beginning of what causes a person to have bad smell. Rachatz bechamin. If a person washed himself with hot water, velo shata mehin, and he didn't ingest any of them, dome letanush esiku mebechutz velo siku mebifnim. It's like an oven that they want to finish making the oven, so they make their oven of clay, right? And then they'd light a fire outside the oven to harden it, and they'd light it inside the oven to harden it. So if you'd light it on the outside would harden and the inside wouldn't. That's what it's like to take a hot shower on the outside and not drink any hot water on the inside. So even though we don't try out Talmudic medicines, I could tell you that I tried this and it's interesting. You have to make a shahakol before you go into the shower. But we have it easy. We're not drinking bath water. You know, their bath water was soiled. It was what they just bathed in. They had everyone sweating it. I don't know why they did that. But our bath water, come on, that's our shower water is clean. It's the same water that's coming out of your sink, hopefully, right? So the
drink it. That's all you do. Drink it.
It says, as you're heating yourself outside, you should heat yourself inside. And otherwise, it's like hardening an oven on the outside and not on the inside. Oh, if you cleansed yourself in hot water and you didn't go finish in cold water, right? Today they say there's an alternative medicine too. You sit in the hot mikveh and then you go to the cold mikveh. That's supposed to be healthy for you, going from hot to cold. If you didn't do that, so when you want to cauterize, when you want to harden metal, what do? You put it, you make it red hot, and then you put it in cold water, right? You guys know, and then it goes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That's how you harden metal. So it says the same thing about the human body. Take a hot shower, then a cold shower. I gave this advice to Chassan. I was with the Chassan the day of his wedding, and he had to run, take pictures, and he said, I didn't shower yet. So I said, look, if you're going to take a hot shower now, you're going to end up sweating because all the steam comes off of you. You're going to throw on all your clothing. The rest of the wedding, you'll be sweaty. Do this. Take a hot shower, and right afterwards, turn on cold water. Rinse yourself off with cold water after the hot water, and then you'll be able to get dressed right afterwards. So that's this advice the Talmud tells us.
What happened? Did he sweat?
He said it worked. I'm saying there are times when it's good advice. Rachatz velo sach. If a person washed himself and didn't anoint himself with oil, dome lemayim agabei chavit. It's like water that was left on top of the barrel. It doesn't go in anything. So too, you take a shower. One of the tricks, if you have dry hands and dry feet, one of the tricks to getting moisture is right after a hot shower to put on the moisturizers. Then they get absorbed. So this is the Talmud says do it with oil. Now,
shampoo apparently is bad for you.
Oh,
but I've heard.
So approximately 40 years ago, they were trying to promote toothpaste. Before World War II, no one had toothpaste. And then Pepsodent hired an advertiser who started this advertising campaign that got people to use Pepsodent toothpaste. What they discovered, though, was that the reason it worked was not because of his advertising, but rather because Pepsodent had mint in it, and it had the foam. And people like that tingling, slightly burning feeling, and then they feel they're clean. It has nothing to do with cleansing, but people like that. And ever since then, they add ammonium lauryl sulfate to many products, like soap and like shampoo, because we feel cleaner if we have the foam. Now, the foam doesn't make it cleaner, but we feel cleaner. So alternative medicine has toothpaste that doesn't foam, because you don't need it. The toothpaste works just fine without it. But people don't buy it because you don't feel clean if you don't have that foam, if you don't have that taste. And the same thing is with shampoo. They're discovering more and more issues with more. Look at the ingredients. Almost everything, every soap has it because it foams and we feel like foam is clean. So alternative medicine says you could clean yourself with oil. But if you put on oil, you're not going to feel like anything cleaned off, right? Imagine smearing yourself with oil and it doesn't foam, it's not clean. And then you wash it off and what happened? You don't feel clean. If you would use a soap that didn't foam, you wouldn't think it was clean.
But then we're solved the problem, I just don't shower.
Excellent, excellent, that's wonderful. Okay, back to our, so the one thing that the Talmud tells us here, final line in this chapter, is that after you wash, you should anoint yourself. And today, our application of that might be that after you wash, if you want to put on a hand cream, if you have dry hands, or cream on any other part that's dry, that's an important time. After you shower, that's what the Talmud says, the moisture doesn't get absorbed when you wash yourself. On the contrary, you're washing away moisture from the body and you're not replenishing that moisture. So that actually modern medicine does side with nowadays. And with that, we finish the third chapter of Tractate Shabbos. Yes?
They say it's also very-